Right now, it is time to bring in our friends from the BerkshireEdge.com. You'll find them at the BerkshireEdge.com 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, with news, stories, information, events all going on at South County and in our area. You can also find them right here on a Wednesday morning with the Berkshire Edge on Robinhood Radio. And we say good morning to David and to Marcy. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What is this enhanced? Okay, whether it's just the hurricane or is this not?
No. What enhanced is the National Weather Service, when there's a chance for thunderstorms, has different classifications. If you're in an area, it can be marginal. It can be enhanced. And then there's two more steps that go up from that. And it's just a way of letting people know that, you know, you have a chance for some severe weather and thunderstorms. And so people, it's in the back of their mind. It's and it does work pretty well because when they put it out for an area, what people seem to realize when they hear a weather forecast or read one from the National Weather Service, they localize that forecast for right where they are. Well, of course, that's not the way it is. It's in a general area. So the National Weather Service tries to cover all of it. So that's what it is. But this is because the tropical storms are down to the south and the Gulf and coming up, and there's also a front coming across from the north, which is moving southeasterly. So that's going to cause the airflow to do that possible cyclonic stuff that it does. But that's what that all means. So there you go.
Okay,
everybody else wake up now that I finished with that. You know, I looked at the first story you've got here, and yesterday morning on Robinhood Radio, I interviewed Richard Solon. Richard is a friend of mine, and he, of course, runs the Great Barrington Airport.
Yeah.
And I decided to do an interview with him because I wanted to point out how beneficial small airports are to our area. And he went on in that interview to explain a lot of stuff that goes on. And a lot of training that goes on, from LifeStar helicopters and everything, and we asked him a little bit about the expansion project, and basically, the way he said the expansion project was set out, he said it'll almost be like you building garages for your cars. And it seems it's funny, the town seems to approve certain things, and it's got to go back, It's a strange story because the airport's been there for so long.
It has,
but there are since the airport has it's out into the west of the center of town, and since then, people have bought property and built houses and so on around it, some of these people are not so excited about having more and more air traffic over their houses, and that's, I think, part of it is that it's a NIMBY, not in my backyard.
Yeah, not in my backyard. But the funny thing is that the building of the hangars isn't going to bring more air traffic. It's just going to protect the planes that are there already, and make the planes accessible more accessibly and more safely stored than before. So it's an interesting thing. It'll be interesting to see how it all works out.
It will, but it's kind of it's a familiar story in a way.
Well,
the airport is, and it is. It's. I don't find. We don't live very far from it, and frankly, I don't find that. The air traffic to be at all disruptive,
No, in fact, we don't live much further from it than the people who are complaining.
Yeah.
It's just interesting when you think about the availability of that airport for LifeStar, for training, police do training there. I mean, there's a lot of other things that go on at a locally owned airport that people don't understand. And the money they raise for charities there is amazing,
yeah,
as
it
well.
Is. So, but anyways,
it's gonna be interesting to see how it goes.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
But our that was our one of the we had this little package of stories that you're referring to, and that was one permit.
Yeah.
But there was another one, yes, Guido's are an independent marketplace that is very popular. Is now going to double in size.
More than double. It's going from 16,000 square feet to about 35,000 square feet. And so that was passed unanimously.
Yeah. No one objected to that.
Except probably the big Y next door.
Yeah. And then the third piece in that package was a discussion of the Housatonic Water Works. And that's a very interesting story, actually, will continue for a while, off and on, because in the little village of Housatonic, which is part of the town of Great Barrington, has its own private water system. It's not part of the town water system, and the problem is that the fellow that owns it, Jim Mercer, they really don't have enough customers to underwrite some of the repairs that really now have to be done, and so he does what he can, but people are finding that their water in Housatonic is all cloudy and rusty, and so they've had a bunch of hearings about this, and customers there are very upset. And we've run pictures of their water filters, which are kind of completely clogged with debris. He keeps promising, well, he'll flush out the system, but really the problem is that he just doesn't have the resources to really maintain that system.
You know, Falls Village went through this, and they just ended up selling their water system. I think there was 128 or 138 residents on the water system, and they just sold it to Aquarian as an asset sale purchase, just simply because they didn't have the technology, didn't have the money to invest in the infrastructure. And if people want water, those 128 to 138 people, this was the only way to safely provide it to them.
Yep. I mean, been an ongoing story off and on, but this is and the other problem is the fire suppression. I mean, whether there's enough water for the water pressure for the hydrants there in the village, that's been an issue before. In fact, at one point, there was a number of years ago, there was a building that burned down because there was just no water in the hydrant, in any case, so it's a story of, you know, this is why we have publicly owned utilities rather than privately owned.
And then the big story, the kicker at the end of this: the ban on single use water bottles has been reinstated. Eventually, eventually.
No, it has been reinstated.
It has.
No, I think but not until September 30th.
Not until September 30th. Yeah.
I know, it's very confusing, and it's like a double negative. The ban has been reinstated, which means that we have the ban again, but we lifted the ban, or the ban was lifted in part because of the situation in Housatonic, that people there don't have decent drinking water. I still don't understand why they have to use single-use bottles, since gallon bottles can be poured into glasses.
Yeah, you can do that, and you can actually get a water cooler for your own house and fill your own own bottles. You know, and your own containers that are reusable containers. So all right, that's the first part.
That's our package of news there.
That's the opening salvo of this morning.
The opening salvo, right.
But I would like to change the order a little bit, if you wouldn't mind. David put our online magazine as the last on the list, but since this is my baby. I want to move it up. I hope, David, you don't mind.
No, I don't mind.
But anyway, you know, The Edge has, for the last year and a half, published a really gorgeous magazine, a print magazine on places to go and things to do. It was a beautiful, glossy magazine, and it was extremely popular. But when the pandemic began, we couldn't do a print magazine anymore. First of all, because of the long leads with a print magazine, you know, we'd have to know what was happening almost 2 months ahead, and that was impossible. And also, we distribute this free all around the county and into Connecticut and New York State, and there were no high traffic zones or no high traffic locations to distribute it to. So we took it online, and so we did that for the May issue, and now we have done it for our August, September, and October issue. So there are several really wonderful features available. One is we have a description of about 13 towns in our area, including Salisbury, Connecticut, and Hillsdale, New York, and the southern towns of Vermont, and also the western towns of Massachusetts, small towns along the border. So we have, you know, sort of everything that's happening in each one of these towns, things to see, what restaurants are open, what times they're open. So it's a really wonderful directory of what's happening in your town and in nearby towns. We have some really fun articles about things you can do safely. We have a suggestion of road trips. We have a very interesting article about the marble industry in the Berkshires, which was a huge driver of the local economy in the 18th and 19th centuries, and where now you can visit old quarries, but where you can see the marble. I mean, for example, in the town of Lee, you know, there are houses made of marble and fence posts made of marble, and there's a marble street for obvious reasons, named Marble Street. So we have that. We have places where you can rent boats up through October. So it's a really terrific resource, and you go to the Berkshire Edge, click on the menu, and click on magazines.
Now, in your story about marble, do you talk about Marble Town?
No. We don't talk about Marble Town. Where is that?
That's in Ulster County, New York.
Well, that's out of our reach.
Because you're saying this, and I'm flashing back through my, where have I heard marble? When I lived over there, of course, there was Marble Town. And I'm not sure whether it was because there's marble or not, but probably somebody by the name of Marble ended up moving there originally.
Well, no, they may have, you know, there is a lot of marble here in the Berkshires. The mining was very labor intensive, but it went on really until World War II, and then it was suspended during World War II. And after that, instead of marble, people started using Portland cement as the new sort of building material. And the marble industry never really recovered after the war, but marble from the Berkshires is on the Washington Monument. It's on the U.S. Congress. It's on the State House in Albany. So, I mean, it is visible in many locations around the Berkshires too. So, it's an interesting story. And we also have an hour and 6 minute film embedded in, which is a tour and a visit to an old marble quarry and how it worked. So it's, you know, what the machinery was. It's very interesting. And the beauty of online publishing is that we can embed this film right into our site. And
yep.
All you do is click on it, and it starts to show.
All right. So, I want to move on.
Thank you.
That's all right. I want to move on because
Marshall, can we keep going?
Backwards?
Yes. Item number five, I think, is kind of important.
I would think so. We interviewed the Region 1 Superintendent, Lisa Carter, who they've done a great job in setting things up. And basically, when we finished the interview with her, I think administrators and teachers and everybody have done all they can do. People just have to know that expect the unexpected. And I think that goes the same with the Berkshire Hills Regional School District.
Right. They're setting up a hybrid model of learning for the to start the school year. It's, they're trying to do what they can and trying to figure out how to reopen schools during this pandemic. They have, of course, different competing ideas about how to do that, but the Berkshire Hills Regional School Committee voted to open the school year on September 14th with just remote learning, except that the high-need students would receive in-person instruction, and that all students enrolled in the hybrid model would begin October 5th. So this is about what they're trying to manage the education, but at the same time, be safe, and it's tricky.
What's tricky about it is, and I think people are going to think that day one school starts, that things are going to stay constant. They're not. Just look what happened in Danbury a couple of days ago. Where
what happened?
Out of nowhere, 500 COVID-19 cases.
Oh my God. Really? Danbury, Connecticut?
In Danbury. And a lot of them were high school aged, people registering to go to school, going to college, and everything like that. So you just don't know. I mean, that's not going to happen every place. But right. I think what administrators have to point out to the taxpayers and to the parents and to the teachers and to the students, they're doing the best they can with limited information, and just be prepared for anything or nothing. You know what I mean? It's just one of those situations where you've got to start someplace, and we'll see what happens once we start.
And the rule is that people have to be safe here.
Yeah.
And we'll adapt as we have to. But I know it's really.
These plans are all rolling plans, and on top of that, they're local plans. But then again, the state health departments will also get involved if something happens. So there's just so many factors that are involved in this. I give a lot of credit to these administrators, and I don't do this often, but for setting up, working hard through the summer, and trying to get school started, and then take it from there.
Yeah, and this is a situation I don't think they've faced before, something like this.
No, not at all.
So they're being innovative, hopefully all our students and the rest of us will get through this without getting ill.
Yep. It's best we can do is just move forward one step at a time and see what happens, and everybody be patient with one another. That's all you can ask for.
I know. I feel so badly for parents who have been home with their kids. It's hard to be patient. They've been patient since March.
Nerves.
And the kids are getting so restless.
Everybody's nerves are at instead of coming off a summer being relaxed and being having your nerves qualified, your nerves are everybody is just going into the school year as tight as a drum. So just the word be patient is all you can put forward. Be patient, wear your damn mask, and do your social distancing, and then see what happens. Honest to gosh, really.
Yeah, right.
No.
It sounds like you're speaking to someone in the White House about that.
There's a lot of people around here that still think that the mask is to protect them. It's not. It's to protect us from them.
It's from them.
Yeah.
Right. We are in an age of lack of consideration for your neighbor.
Absolutely. I want to move on here because some decent news, and that is Berkshire Grown has issued their online guide of local farm stands. And if it's one thing that we have around here that we're very lucky at, and it's local farm stands that put out really quality stuff that isn't shipped in from like 25 hours away.
Right.
Oh, that's right.
And this is also in our magazine, by the way. We have the whole we have the whole guide online, and we're about to update it, and we're also about to add an article about where, you know, apple farms and where you can pick apples in the in September and October. So, but yes, Berkshire Grown is a wonderful organization. They're trying to keep farmers farming. And they do everything possible to support local farmers, so it's terrific.
Yeah, and this is, as I say, as we say here, we have a link to the Berkshire Grown local guide to food in farms, and you can find out where to pick your own. You can go out and pick your own vegetables and fruit. So, anyways, this is Berkshire Grown is a wonderful organization, and. And as Marcy was saying, they do support the local farmers.
And they, on top of supporting, they publicized it so more people know about it. I mean, there's a reason why when people come to visit our area, either whether they're from Boston or from New York, well, one of the first places they go is a local farm market. There's
a
reason.
Well, they should. Well, I've been eating local corn lately, and boy, is it good.
All right, I want to move on to the next story, and that is a Worcester-based nonprofit is opening a drug treatment facility in Housatonic.
Yes, they have taken over
an old
restaurant in Housatonic that is had been gone out of business, and this is a nonprofit organization, and they have a drug treatment center because really there was a real need for this, and this is Spectrum Health Systems, a Worcester-based nonprofit group. It's an outpatient facility, and because there's been a real demand for treatment in South Berkshire County. Because in North Berkshire, up near Pittsfield, there's treatment centers there, but not down here. In fact, you know, people who are having trouble with drug addiction, would have to drive or be driven to Pittsfield previously for treatment, and so now we have a local center for that.
All right, and one more story, and that is the Tanglewood Music Center and their live concerts, their streaming concerts, and people can still enjoy.
Yes. You know? That's right. Tanglewood is making do, as everybody else is, online, so that you can. We have a story about a recital of Mozart and Schubert. With some string musicians from the BSO, and the streaming is available for until Friday, August 28th, and we have a link to the video of them playing, and it's a 57-minute video, so it's.
But it's only available till the 28th.
Till the 28th, right.
Friday.
So people want to hear some really good chamber music. And Schubert is really wonderful, by the way. As is the Mozart. So they should go to our site and link to that performance.
Those stories and many, many more, of course, theberkshireedge.com is their web location, and they're there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And, guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Take care, Marshall.
All right. Take care. Be safe, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, you too. Bye.
Bye.
The Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.